The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land which Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For the Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If only you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place of worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.
The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one speaking with you. At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman, but still no one said, what are you looking for? Or, why are you talking with her? The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ? They went out from the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. So the disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say in 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work.
Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me everything I have done. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves that we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. I just brought down this here this morning because I just want to not to forget anything in the Gospel today. It's such a beautiful reading from the Gospel of John. And before we get into seeing what we can get out of the Gospel this morning, just want to very briefly give you a little bit of background on the first page. Mainly to deal with the enmity between the Jews and the Samaritans. So long before Christ came, the northern part of Israel or Judea was invaded by the Assyrians, and they took away a lot of the people living in that part as slaves. back to where the Assyrians came from, and they intermingled, the Jews intermingled and intermarried with the Assyrians, and so diluted the bloodline, so the bloodline became contaminated, and so the people who remained, weren't taken into slavery, had a terrible hatred for them because they had forsaken their religion and forsaken their roots. And so when they eventually came back to Judea or Israel, they were ostracized by the people down in the south. Now, the people down in the south, in the Babylonian captivity, they were taken into slavery, but they remained faithful to their Jewish religion, and they came back very proud that they had done that, and that added to their enmity. And then in the year 70, when the Temple of Jerusalem was destroyed and rebuilt in the year 120, some of the Samaritans offered to help the Jews to rebuild the temple, and they were told, "No, we don't want your help. You're bad, you're a Samaritan." And so the Samaritan went off and built their own temple on the Mount of Gerizim. And so that gives you the background, and that's very important in the gospel this morning. Why do you think the woman at the well came at noon? We read, there's a one little sentence here in the beginning of the gospel this morning, and it's a simple sentence: it was about noon. And she came at noon because she was a woman living in shame, because nobody in the normal senses would come looking for water to the well in at the heat of the day. That's when the sun is at its strongest, and she came because she knew nobody else would be there, and so she wouldn't be embarrassed. Sad. She was a sad woman. And there are people like her today, and she was looking for something. She was a woman thirsting for something. She was a woman who had no happiness in life, no peace in life. What's the next interesting thing? She had five husbands. And the man, Jesus said, "You're with now, is not your husband," the sixth. And what happened? The seventh man came into her life. Seven in Scripture is the number of perfection. For example, when Peter said to Jesus, "How often should I forgive somebody who offends me?" What did Jesus say? Peter said, "Should I forgive seven times?" Peter said, "No, but 70 times seven." 70 times seven. So Jesus was the seventh man that came into our life. And what was the difference? Hopefully you're thinking along with me. It was the first time in her life that Samaritan woman felt truly loved. Loved for herself, not for what somebody could get out of her or get from her. She was loved for herself. Huh? And that's one of the beautiful things that comes through in the gospel this morning. There Jesus came. Was there any note of condemnation? Nope. Was there any judgment? Nope. Total acceptance. What did Jesus, in a short time she realized, honestly, I can't believe this. Here is somebody who loves me as I am. How many people do that? How many people put great expectations on people? I love you if. I love you as long as. There was Jesus loved her just as she was. And that's the way he loves us. just as we are. It's we are putting all the expectations on ourselves. And so very often, because of those expectations, we refuse to accept the love of Jesus in our lives. Refuse, because I'm not good enough. How could God love me, we say. She found true love for the first time in her life. And Jesus then talks about giving her living water and how he can change her life. And she became totally, totally, totally changed. And guess what happened? She, in her joy, all her shame was removed. This woman who would not appear in public, who would come for water at the noon, and the noon, in the middle of the noonday sun, now ran back to where she came from, called everybody together and said, I have found the Messiah. I found somebody who really, really loves me. That's what she was saying. Come and see. And so she became, what? One of Jesus' very first apostles. And remember, she was a woman. That's important. Not a man, a woman, in every sense of the word. That's very important in the gospel this morning. That comes through. Meanwhile, the bunch of apostles came back. Now, you got to see from their point of view. We are thinking all the time of Jesus as the Son of God and as God. Forget that Jesus is a man, a Jewish man, talking to a Samaritan woman. And right away, we see the apostles. What are they doing? They're into judgment. Isn't that typical? Huh? They're into judging. What the hell is he doing talking to that woman? Does he realize she's a Samaritan? And then he said, what is he after? That's a leading question, isn't it? What is he after? In the gospel says, what are you looking for? But what's the difference? What are you looking for? What are you after? So they were suspicious. They were suspicious. And then they said, why are you talking with her? See how they had her categorized and condemned and judged. Now, would any of us fit into that? Be honest. Be honest. Huh? I think we just might. I think we just might. If you saw me somewhere up in Pasadena at 9 o'clock at night talking to a woman who had a reputation, what would you say? Be honest. Be honest. What would you say? What are you doing with her? What are you after? We're no different. We're no different. And now, very interesting, the mountain of Gerizim and the mountain Jerusalem. This is a very important point in the Gospel of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus says, look, it doesn't matter where you worship, whether it is on the mountain of Gerizim or on the mount of Jerusalem. What really matters is that you worship God in spirit and truth. So he does away with all this denomination business and all these divisions. And what have we done? We haven't listened. We're still into divisions. We're still into divisions. Like the kid in Belfast said to her friend, are you a Presbyterian? And he said, no, I'm a different abomination. and that's exactly where we are. We're all into these little divisions. And Jesus says to her, those divisions don't matter to God. It's what's in the heart, in the spirit, that really matters. That's what Jesus said to her. So why don't we accept that? Why have we all these divisions and different fighting about religion? Oh, When are we going to grow up? When are we going to listen to what Jesus is telling us? And then, finally, and this is another very important point in the gospel this morning, he says, salvation is here and now. And where are we? Where are we? Why are you at Mass this morning? Are you coming to Mass because somehow in the back of your mind and your subconscious, it would be a sin if you didn't come to Mass, and if you died, you'd end up in hell? You know, a lot of people are like that still to today. Are you into reward and punishment in the life hereafter? The vast majority of Catholics, especially the older ones that I've come across, yes, we are. And Jesus says, it's not about life hereafter. The sowing and the reaping are side by side. He says, look, one sows, another reaps. It's happening now. It's happening now. And if you were to ask me, give me a definition of eternal life, a simple and I think a good definition of eternal life is, it's the eternalization of your life here and now. Everything you're going through now, your pain, your hurts, your strivings, your disappointments, your joys, they're all you. And that's all God wants, the beautiful you as you are. When are we going to believe that? Because we don't. Because we really don't. I'm in the same boat. I don't make any this distinction. I'm beginning to see that more and more. All he wants is the beautiful you as you are. Everything that happens in your life, God uses for your good, for your benefit. Really, he does. Nothing goes to waste. And the pain and the suffering, the joys and the sorrows, the hurts and the pain and everything you go through are what are forming your soul. And when you ultimately meet the Lord face to face, you'll realize that everything that happened was part of God's beautiful plan. It's a beautiful reading from the gospel this morning. So I want you to do something. I'd love if you did it. Sometime today, I would love if you were to sit down and read again the story of the woman at the Samaritan well, quietly at home, and just listen and see what it's saying to you in your heart. You would be amazed what it will tell you. Quietly, only take 10 or 15 minutes, but please do that. If you did that, this would be one of the best homilies you ever heard. There you go.